us this morning. Amen. Ask God to stir you early in the morning. Ask God to wake you in the morning to speak to you and to encourage you and to show you how much He loves you. I find I'm a night owl. But I find that in the morning, when you're stirred in the morning, hold on. You know, I just want to welcome everyone here this morning. We're going to jump into the Word because I don't want to hold back. I know someone's writing some prophetics for me that we're going to share. I was told a prophetic word for the church in a second here as we get ready to pray at the end. But if you're new, thanks for being here. You know, you chose to come and worship here at South Towns, and we honor that, and we thank you for being here. We would love to bless you with a little something at our Welcome Center. There's a visitor card here, and if you would be comfortable to fill that and visit someone at the Welcome Center, or even wait for after service, and I'd like to personally meet you if I have a chance to meet you and shake your hand and put a face to the name. I believe that God's going to do great things for you, as well as the rest of the church family here. A lot of things that you got to check your bulletin about. So many things happening. How many of you have ever seen a fire burn before? You ever been around a campfire or a flame, or maybe just light a lighter and stare at the flame? I don't know what you do at your house. You see a flame, right? What's amazing, though, that flame needs a couple things for to do what a flame does. It needs oxygen, it needs fuel, and it needs heat. When you remove oxygen, the flame subsides, can go out, and stops burning. To be an individual, a believer, a Jesus follower who's going after the passionate vision that God has instilled in you, we need a few things in our lives, critical elements as believers. We need the Holy Spirit. If we didn't need the Holy Spirit, God wouldn't have sent Him to us. He wouldn't have said, go wait, I have something for you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. We also need to be passionate. We need to be passionate about Jesus, about church, about the Word, about worship, about singing before God, not worrying how bad your voice sounds out loud. Let me tell you something. This voice is not winning a Grammy, an Emmy, a CMT, or any MTV. No, it's not. But the heartbeat behind the natural ugliness that may come out means nothing to God because it's from what's on the inside. Why? Because I'm passionate about Jesus, and I really don't care. I'm going to be honest with you today. I'm fired up already, if you've noticed. I've been up early. I really don't care what people think, how good I sing or how bad I sing. I don't. All I worry about is what Jesus thinks is coming from me. Why? Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I walk and live by faith and not by sight, and I passionately love Jesus. And I want to talk to you about passion because my question for you is, are you passionate about Jesus? Now, it's easy to say yes up in the house. It's easy to say, oh, there's a pastor. I love Jesus. It's easy to say that to the pastor's wife on a Sunday morning. But can you meet me at the supermarket and be that passionate in front of strangers? It's easy to be passionate now about the Bills. They haven't played any games yet. We love them. We wear the gear. We paint our faces up. We run around and say, yeah, Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl. But by the eighth week of the season, are we still that passionate? Some of you we're going to pray for if you're not. Right? Listen, God gave you a plan and a purpose and a vision for your life. Part of obtaining that and part of living and seeing come to pass is you got to be passionate about Jesus, and you got to be passionate about the plan or the vision or the dream that God gave you that needs to be fulfilled. If you're not passionate about the vision God gave you, it's not going to come to pass. It's not. It's not happening because you're just going to sit around and talk about, well, you know, God called me to do this. That nothing's going to happen with that attitude, with that mindset. Passion for Jesus, passion for the Spirit consuming us will drive us, will propel us, will motivate us, will kick us in the butt, We need to be kicked spiritually in the butt sometimes. We'll kick us in the butt to get going where God wants us to go, doing what God wants us to do. We need passion. I don't know, did you ever hear this guy in the Bible? His name's Paul. Y'all hear about Paul? Before Jesus, he was passionate, on fire, to destroy the move of God, to destroy the church. Then, something crazy happens. He has a face-to-face encounter with God. He becomes more passionate, not to destroy the church, but to build the church, to spread the good news, to build leaders, to train people, to do what's necessary to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And so Paul, I want to read to you a passage in the book of Acts, chapter 26. Paul, he's standing before King Agrippa. And I love what he says, because this is like the last verse of this, what I'm going to read to you, really jumped off the page. You know what it did? It like slapped me in the face spiritually. Because here's Paul, he's standing defending himself and he's sharing with King Agrippa, you know, what happened. And so what he's saying is that one day he's walking on the road to Damascus and he has this giant encounter with God. If you haven't had an encounter with God, I'm going to ask you to come to one of our prayer team today after service so they can lay hands on you with oil and pray that you have an encounter today. We're not going to wait. We're not going to say we're going to send you home and hope you have it on Tuesday. No, we're going to pray for the encounter today. See, Paul had an encounter that day. And in the midst of the encounter, he's like, whoa, what's happening? Who is this? What's going on? And here's what it says. I'm going to read you a couple verses. You can stay seated because I'm going to close, talk, yell, scream, roll, flip, flop, sweat, whatever. He says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And he says, rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Say, I have purpose. Do you mean that, though? You have purpose. You have a God-given purpose to be here on planet Earth. You're not just here as a mistake. You're not just here because, you know, your parents want to decide, hey, we're going to have a couple kids, you know, become that family that has 1.2 kids and lives in a neighborhood with a white picket fence, one dog, two cats, a bird, some fish that we flush down the toilet when they die, whatever may happen, but we're going to be that. No, you're here because God has a purpose for you. And he looks at Paul and says, you have a purpose, my friend. And he says, what I want you to do is at this time, I'm going to appoint you as my servant. We're all called to serve. We're all servants of the Most High God. And he says, what you're going to do is you're going to witness both to what you have seen and what I will yet reveal to you. See, maybe God hasn't revealed a lot of things to you yet, so what it means for us if we're in that boat is we need to be a witness to what he's already shown us, what we've already read, what we've already studied, of the encounters that we've already had. We become that witness to others around us. And then when he gives you the glimpse of the vision, the plan, the purpose, whether through a dream, whether through a prophetic word, whether through you just laying before God on your living room floor, staring at the ceiling, and he opens and reveals what he has for you, you begin to then work towards that. And he goes on and he says, I'm going to deliver you from your people and from the Gentiles, and I'm going to use you to open their eyes and turn from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. But what I love about this is in verse 19, he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We're talking about vision. We're talking about plans and purposes and dreams and what God has for us. Paul says, King, I was not disobedient. He wasn't disobedient because he was passionate. And he was faithful, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he loved God in such a way that, you know what? If you read also let me see if I have it written down in my notes here. If you read in 2 Corinthians, he talks about, I was beaten 5 times with a rod, I was shipwrecked 3 times, I was this, I was that, I was locked up in prison. In the midst of all that, he was faithful, and he was full of passion, and he was full of zeal to what? To be obedient to the vision that God gave him. And see, in here sits a multitude of people, different ages, different backgrounds, single, married, a child, an adult, educated, uneducated, in the work field, retired, whatever it may be, but you got a purpose. If you haven't discovered it, we're going to pray for it. If you discovered it, we got to go after it. But what you need to go after it and see it come to pass is you got to, like myself, I got to have the Holy Spirit. I got to be passionate about it. And I have to be live by faith and be faithful to what God's called me to do and what he's called me to be. And so what we need to understand is that effective people like Paul are those who have figured out, those who have figured out what they're going to stand for. What do you stand for today? What do you stand for? What do you represent? See, Paul was so on fire. And for us, when it comes to the fulfillment of that God-given dream or that vision, what we need to understand is that passion is going to be a major factor that's going to play a part in it. Have you ever been around someone who's not passionate? Right? They're downers, aren't they? I'm not being negative, but they're just kind of downers, aren't they? They suck the life out of us. Because they're not passionate. They have no vision. They have no outlook for what's going to happen. Like even today, there are people today that look and see one small cloud and be like, yeah, it's going to rain today. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come on now. There's just no outlook. See, I see the sun. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a beautiful week. Because I'm trying to see down the road of what can happen weather-wise in the natural. Then we got to go to God and say, Lord, you better like peel back the clouds, stop the flooding in the west, the burning stop the flooding in the Midwest, the burning in the west, and what's happening in the south. God, but what happens is when I find people that are that way, they have no passion. You know what I find? They have no vision. They have no outlook for life. It's mundane. It's let me get up, let me go over here, go to the bathroom, brush my teeth. Maybe brush my teeth, have a cup of Joe, read the paper, go to work, come home, press repeat. No vision. No vision. What's scary, though, is some don't have the vision because they haven't been in the presence of God for it to be revealed yet, or they have the vision, but they have no passion to allow it to consume them. And see, we need to understand that vision is going to be the precedent that will fuel with the Holy Spirit, the passion to drive us to see it come to pass. Are you still passionate today? All right. I'm going to keep asking you that. I'm going to keep asking you that. And so when passion burns within us, do you know what happens? It's willing to pay the cost. It's willing to do what is necessary to see it fulfilled. The God-given dream, plan, vision, blueprint that God showed you, are you willing to pay the cost to see it come to pass? Now listen, don't just blurt out and say, oh, yes, I am. Think about it before you do that. Because the cost is great. The cost is mighty. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God, I'm going to give you a plan, son or daughter, and it's going to be so simple to obtain. I'm just going to open every door just like that, and you're going to walk through. Actually, it's going to be so easy, you don't even need to walk. You're going to be like on one of those moving things in the airport. Everybody's going to like almost like levitate through to get to where you need to go. It doesn't say that. So we need to understand that, but there's a cost to it, and we need to know that. So if someone said, oh, you can obtain everything without a cost, they're lying. There's a cost to obtaining the vision or the plan that God has for you. But the cost outweighs the result of the vision coming to pass. It so outweighs it because it's God-given. It's Spirit-driven. And so when we're talking passion and we're talking how, you know, this passion that burns within us, that there's a price to pay. But what I love about passion, I find that passion will keep you and I focused. Did you ever get scatterbrained? Oh, no one's like me? I pretend that I can multitask. Nope. I tell you guys, I see in patterns. I do things in. I was talking to one of our ushers this morning, because the usher bowls were 2 inches off the platform in the center of every wooden strip here, and I'm like, thank God you see the way I see things, in patterns, the way. But what happens is, we can get scatterbrained. We can get like off track, because everything else is swirling and happening. But when you passionately are on fire for something, it helps you stay focused. It helps you be driven to a certain thing. All the men in the house that are married, let me ask you this question. When you had that eye-opening realization that you're going to marry your beautiful bride that you're married to, life changed, didn't it? Became a little more focused. Things were a little bit different. You know, you stop thinking about hanging out with the fellas on the weekend because you're like, man, I don't want to hang out with those clowns. I want to be with her. I want to go out to dinner. Why? Because all of a sudden, passion was stirring within you for the one that you loved. And that passion brought you to a focus of everything else wasn't as important as the thing you are passionately in love with. That's what passion does. And what's unique about it is the Holy Spirit that is housed within us stirs up within us that love and that passion for Jesus. And as it stirs up and we're focusing on Jesus, Jesus then is showing us the dream or the vision or the plan, and we begin to be more focused. So whatever's happening around us is like, yeah, that's nice, it's happening, but I'm too focused and I need to be doing this instead. And so, see, we need to understand that passion is going to help us to stay focused. It's going to help us to keep Jesus at the center. It's going to help us to continue to lead a life connected to Jesus. If you're not passionate about Jesus, I want to pray for you. Pastor, you're pretty bold today. Yes, I am. Because I want to see you thriving and growing. I don't want to see anyone no longer settling for mediocrity in their walk with God or the presence of Jesus in their lives. See, our passion for God and for what God wants to do in the move of the Holy Spirit, it should have direct implications on other people as well. I talked about, have you know passionate people? See, the love and passion that we have for God in the midst of fulfilling the vision, it should spill into those that are around us and spill into our friends, into our families. I told you a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, I'm scatterbrained, I don't know. I heard a pastor say this, and I said, it's so true. My job as the pastor of this house is not to lead your family and friends to Jesus. I know that some people are like offended by that, but think about that. The job of the pastor is not to lead your friends and family to Jesus. Your passion and love and the Spirit of God that dwells within you should be overflowing out of you at your family gatherings, at your friend gatherings, at the places that you go with other people that are close to you, and that passion for Jesus should be coming out of you, touching their lives in some way, shape, or form. So what happens is the church is the responsibility to help train you and teach you and do those things necessary to equip you to be who God wants you to be. Yes, I'm going to pray for your family members to come to know Jesus, but the reality is my responsibility as a born-again believer, as a Christian around my family, is to show them Jesus. Not the pastor who's the brother, who's the cousin, who's the uncle. No, as the family member, as the friend, is to show them Jesus. And the way that we do that is because I'm passionately in love with him, so it comes out of me wherever I'm at. Not only in our family, but also in our community. My friend, he owns a couple food trucks. And my wife and I, we work for them. And so we sell ice cream out of these food trucks. It's really cool. You know what? I was getting dressed the other day for this event we were doing. And I put my Flash Gordon t-shirt on because I was like, I'm going to be Flash today. See, if I can't be Captain America, I want to be the Flash. It's true. It's okay. You can laugh. I have dreams and visions too, you know. If you see me preaching with a shield, run out of here. I might throw it at you to bring it back in and catch it and stuff, but hey, whatever. If all of a sudden I start to shake and start running and doing circles, it's the Holy Spirit winding me up to whatever. But anyways, so I put my t-shirt on, right? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just not feeling this right now. You know what I'm feeling for tonight? I'm feeling to wear I Love My Church t-shirt. Seriously. So I got my iron back out, turned it back on. I iron everything. I got my t-shirt out and I ironed my t-shirt, put that on. I'm like, here we go. We got to the event. Within 3 minutes, my wife will tell you, I was talking to the dude next to me about Jesus. Why? Because I'm passionate about Jesus. And so I may not say it yet, but you're going to see I Love My Church about faith, family, and community. It's going to make you think about something. It might draw you to ask a question. And if not, I'll just keep talking to you, getting closer, closer into your space. And before you know it, we were talking to a lot of people about Jesus. We were ministering for about a half an hour with this one lady at the end of the night. Why? Because the plan and purpose and vision for myself is to be who God wants me to be and do what God wants me to do in any way, shape, or form. And so what happens is it stirs that passion. It stirs up within us. And so, you know, we have to let it come out of us because it will have direct effects. I don't want to be like the church at Ephesus. God tells them all the great things they did. And they're like, but I have this one thing against you, my son. The desire and the passion for your first love has drained, has subsided. I don't want that to happen. Now, we can have our passion stolen by not staying connected, by not staying plugged in, by not going after it, by allowing the obstacle or the difficulty to sidetrack us or pull us back, by allowing the negative word or the negative words or those things that others may say or you may think that they're saying about you may hold you back. And it could suck the passion to fulfill what God has called you to do. But what I love about passion, it actually empowers us to live our lives in a different way. It propels us to action. See, what I love about passion, it actually begins to change who I am. See, when I passionately became a lover and follower of Jesus, do you know what changed? Everything. Everything changed. Not because I had the ability to do it on my own. No, because I had the Holy Spirit fill me and make the changes necessary, and it sparked something within me. It started a flame, and that flame got hotter and hotter. And so all of a sudden, my attitude changed. I know it's hard for you to believe, but at times I had a bad attitude. I actually had a t-shirt that said bad attitude on it. It was a band t-shirt, but it said, I loved it because it said bad attitude. My attitude changed. It wasn't so negative. It wasn't so mean. It wasn't so short. All of a sudden, you know, my behaviors changed. I began to do things different. I began to act different. Even my relationships changed. All of a sudden, a whole group of people that were friends were no longer friends. Because I had to do some cutting, and they had to do some cutting because I became too much for them. I became too much Jesus for them, and they couldn't handle it. That's okay. A lot of them came back as a social friend or whatever that I still pray for and get to wear my I Love My Church t-shirt too and, you know, and talk about and say I didn't notice you at church on Sunday and just giggle about it. And they're like, oh, I'm going to be coming. I'm like, I'm still praying. I had one individual about 2 weeks ago. I'm like, hey, do you want me to send the van to pick you up? Him and his wife looked at me. I'm like, no, seriously, I'll have someone swing by and grab you guys. You're not that far from the church. We're coming. I'm like, okay, if I don't see you in a couple weeks, I'll be stopping in again to talk to you. All right. It's okay. I love them. I love them so much that I want them to know Jesus. I'm concerned about where they may end up if they don't know Jesus. So if I got to stop by every so often and say, hey, what's up? Here I am. You know why I'm here. Maybe next time I'll bring some oil slathered on. Come on. But what happens is passion changes me. It'll change you. It changed Paul. It changed the disciples. It changed the 120 who showed up in the upper room. The passion that Jesus, as the Holy Spirit fills us, consumes us, and we become engulfed with changes us. It should make us stand out. As a believer, can I encourage you to stop trying to blend in? Now, stand out, but don't stand out where we're rude and we're hurting other people. But stop trying to blend in. Don't try to blend in and be a chameleon or a, is it a chameleon? I'm looking at my wife. She's like, yeah. Because there's stuff that I say sometimes. She's like, do you know you use that word wrong? I'm like, oh, thank you so much for telling me that. Trust me, I want to get better at what I do, the craft of preaching. And so I watch videos, I read books, I listen to my wife, I listen to my 20-year-old daughter, who, by the way, 6 months and 5 days later, she's finally back in the States. Amen. Woo! So, no idea where I'm at. Oh, so it's a chameleon. Or like the little gecko who turns colors. Let's stop trying to be like that. And let's just be who God wants us to be. Let's just let it come out of us in a loving way that Christ would want us to love people around us. And it's okay to stand out in the crowd. It's okay to be different. It's okay to love Jesus and have other people know that you love Jesus. And just so you know, just because you have a T-shirt or a bumper sticker, it needs to be more than that too. The T-shirt I use as bait to talk, to demonstrate, to show. So remember that. So, see, the passion will make us stick out of the crowd. And so, when we're controlled by our passions for Jesus and we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're living and walking by faith, what happens is, David, you can come back up with the worship team. What happens is it affects our actions. We don't act the same. It affects our thinking. I don't even think the same anymore. And it also affects how we talk, how we speak. Do you know, now some of you I grew up with, what comes out of this mouth wasn't always this way. I know my mom and dad are in the house, so I'm going to be good today. I'm not going to embarrass them. But it wasn't always wholesome talk that came out. It was words that shouldn't have been coming out to begin with, Jesus or no Jesus. They were offensive. They were derogatory. They hurt other people. But a unique thing happened. I fell in love with God. And when Jesus came in and the Holy Spirit filled me, all of a sudden when one of those words came out, I felt dirty. Like, ooh, that doesn't even sound right anymore. It really never sounded right to begin with, but because Jesus was doing something in me, because I was thinking different, I was acting different, I was standing out, all of a sudden, actually what's unique is that I was in a group of people one time and someone says, what's with that guy? He never swears. And my buddy's like, oh, he loves Jesus. One of my best friends, oh, he loves Jesus. Yeah. But I was there still around other people who may talk that way because you know what? Let's be a light in a dark place. Let's love them for where they're at and love them through where they need to get to. And we do that because we passionately want to see the vision that God has for us fulfilled. And we passionately want to serve Jesus the way that we're supposed to. And so my speech changed. And so let me tell you what Paul says as we wrap this up. Continually fuel your passions for Jesus. Stay focused on the prize at hand. Stay focused on the goal, the vision, the dream that God gave you. Don't focus in on the spectators. Don't allow the spectators to determine. Paul said this, and he gave a beautiful outline of how we can do this. He starts off by saying, he says, you know what? Don't you know that all those who run in a race run, but one receives the prize? He says this, and this is what we need to know when we're passionately going after what God wants us to go after and being who God wants us to be. Run that you may obtain it. Go after it that you may obtain what God has showed you. Be who God wants. Run after it. Go for it. Get off the bench. Get on the field. He goes on and says, run that you may obtain it. Everyone who strives for the prize exercises self-control. In other words, we have to make some changes when we go for it. And it goes on and says, run not with uncertainty. Well, I think God called me to be a pastor. I'm not really sure. I think I should preach a message on Sunday. I better call the worship leader. Hey, Pastor Dave, do you think I should preach on Sunday? I'm really not sure if I should preach on Sunday or not. Let me ask the bass player, Phil, do you think I, no, or I, every Monday morning, I'm like, Lord, what do you have for Sunday? Because with certainty, I know what I'm called to do. And so we got to run after those things that God called you and God showed you to be with certainty, running, focused in, disciplining ourselves, doing all that is necessary to be all that we can be for who God wants us to be. And he says, run, not with uncertainty. Fight, not as one who beats the air, but bring everything under subjection. Under subjection unto God and unto the presence of God and the Spirit of God. Allow him to show us. Stop listening to other people telling you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. So many times they'll mislead you and pull you off the plan that God has for you. You ought not be teaching Jesus to the Muslim community. Why? Because we shouldn't. Why? Because we shouldn't. It offends them. Well, you know what? It offends me every time someone tells me that I was born from an ape and not created in the presence of God. But everyone's okay with that. Really? Now I can share Jesus to the Muslim community with love and with honor and respect. But let people tell us what we're supposed to be doing as believers, not doing. Let's stand out in the crowd. Let's be who God's called us to be. You got a plan and purpose. You got to go for it. You got to go for it. You got to go for it. You got to run after it. You got to stay focused, not on the spectators, not on the other runners. You need to stay focused on Jesus. You need to stop getting focused on the past, whether there was successes or whether it was failures. Look at those things, and whether it was a failure, says, use it as something to motivate you to keep going where God wants you to go now. It's time to grind, and it's time to work at what God has given to us and called us to be. It's not easy. No one said training is easy. Ask some of our bodybuilders in here. Training is not easy. But we're called. We're called to something. And to get there, we're going to have to train. We're going to have to be ready. Let's stand to our feet this morning. So here's the deal. Passion is a part of obtaining the vision and the dream that God has given us. It will push you. It will pull you. Do you have that prophetic word? Do you have that word? Does he have that? Did he write that down? Can you grab him? Did you write that word? Do you have that word? I need to share this real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Prophetic word for the church today. So right on. Now I know why I needed to wait. Because it goes right where we're at right now. The word of the Lord this morning, do you love me and do you love my presence, saith the Lord. Are you willing to let me cleanse you as I did Isaiah? Touched and burned, brought cleanliness, renewed, revived. So you, here it is. This is the clincher. It goes right with, no idea we were in the middle of the series at all. No idea. So you will be able to go forth as he did. Isaiah was called to be a mouthpiece, to go forth. He had a plan and purpose that God had given him. So you will be able to go forth as he did. Lines up with everything we're talking about. So here's how I want to pray for you right now, because I need to dismiss you. If you need prayer for passion, for vision, for more of the Holy Spirit and his presence, I need you to come down here as fast as you possibly can. Come on down here. I want to pray over you, pray for you, pray and speak life into your spirit, man, this morning. If you need to be dismissed, you may be dismissed. I just ask that you leave quietly, as I don't want to disturb what God is doing in the front with everyone who's coming forward. You can come closer to me real quick. Come in closer today. I'm going to come jump down here. I'm going to get yelled at by the TV people, but that's okay. I need stairs right here for these moments. I keep saying that. I need three stairs, just little ones I can step down. I'm getting too old to be jumping off a platform. Everyone that's in their pew, what I need you to do is I need you to stretch your hands forward as we intercede for our family here. Family here, our church family. No, we may not be blood, but spiritually we're connected in Jesus. We're family. We're family here. We're family. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We speak life to one another. So I need you behind them, guarding their back as we pray for them in the front. Amen? So Father, in Jesus' name, right here today, stand your children. And I declare this day, the words that have been spoken in this house would come to pass in their lives. Father, whether healing and restoration and renewal, dreams to be imparted, Father, passion to be renewed, the sparks and the flames of you, O God, to burn deep, the oxygen of the Holy Spirit to consume them, every need to be met accordingly. Father, deposit it this day in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I declare that every person standing here would have breakthrough today. Breakthrough spiritually, breakthrough emotionally, breakthrough physically. You know every want, every desire, and every need. Father, you stirred and you shook the upper room. On this day of Pentecost, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that God, you would burn and you would shake and you would fill every individual at this altar today with your Holy Spirit. Father, we speak passion. We declare passion and fire to burn deep and to burn bright. Father, every dream and every vision that has been shown, Father, would begin to come to pass and be worked out in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare this day in the name of Jesus, all that you have in store would begin to be poured out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For every son and every daughter has a plan and a purpose. And Father, we declare that this day it would be discovered in you in Jesus' name. God, we come against any words that have been spoken of negativity or death regarding that vision, regarding that call, regarding, God, what you said would come to pass. And Father, this day, in Jesus' name, those negative words of death would be broken off. Would be broken off. Would be broken off. Father, right now, let your Holy Spirit speak life in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Wholeness in Jesus' name. And even those who are standing in the gap, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you have done today. Father, we thank you for what you have done today. And I pray and ask Holy Spirit to seal every seed that was sown in this house, in these individuals, in your children. Seal it, guard it, water it, grow it in Jesus' name. That every plan, every vision, every dream, every purpose that each individual has would begin to come to pass as they work at it, as they leave this place passionately on fire for you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you go home this week and you get before God, you journal and you pray and you seek his face for what he's going to continue to do in you. God bless you. Have a safe week. Thanks for being here this morning. Check the website. So many great things are happening. And so we will see everybody next week on Sunday, Father's Day, as we celebrate dads here at South Towns. God bless you.